Amen. Elder Baglund is going to teach us today, and I'm looking forward to it, and because all the pressure's on him. So anyway, I know he'll do a good job, and we love and appreciate this good man. I want to say one thing. He was very, very sick, very ill during this pandemic, and God restored him his health, and we thank God for that. It could have easily gone the other way, but God was kind and gracious and left him around to torment me a while longer. God bless you. Come on, Elder. God bless you.
Everybody said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everybody said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm warming you up. One, two, three, four. One, two. This is, of course, Father's Day, so I want to wish every one of you a happy Father's Day, and you may be seated. Of everything that is ever said in church, those are my favorite words. You may be seated. A son asked his dad, "Can I have a bookmark?" And he burst into tears, 11 years old, and he still doesn't know my name is Brian. Can I have a bookmark? Never mind. They get worse. Hold on. June 19, 1910 was the first Father's Day, and it took till 1966 to make it a federal or presidential proclamation of a day designed to honor the fathers. Mother's Day was 1907. And so I thought that was interesting. I hope this Father's Day is as fun as your life was before kids. Right. The most important thing in the world today, besides God, is the family and love. And so today I want to teach on God and the family, and especially talking about the responsibility of a father. Now, Brother Waldrop and Pastor have been emphasizing the Word of God for several weeks now, and this is a positive message because we live in such a negative world, and if anything is going to help us, it's the Word of God. And the worse the world gets, the more we need some revelations. So you need to know who God really is and the plan of salvation, and because that's being questioned and will be questioned even more and more and more. And so the family, to me, is a very important part of God's plan. Now, we talk about the plan of salvation and the plan of holiness and the plan. But one of God's perfect plans was actually the family. Now, whenever I teach on family, I make this little statement. Please don't put yourself down as I teach, saying, "I wish I'd had that. I wish I did that. I wish I did that." That's just in the past. Can everybody say amen? Because I'm going to be pretty straight on some things, and if you didn't do it, then maybe we'll do better, and if you didn't do it, maybe you can help another father to do better. Some things I wished I'd known a long time ago. When I got saved and when Brother Howard got saved, we didn't have any classes on family, no books on family, very little said about family. Even my pastor, I don't remember even teaching too much about, you know, you just get married and all. And so it's important today to understand the Word of God. I'm preaching today out of my new Bible that my daughter and son-in-law gave me for Father's Day. And so I'm very happy with this. And I'm reading in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Most of you already know it by heart. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, that's a very strange verse to start off a Father's Day message. Seek ye first. Notice that God did not say, just seek God and his kingdom. But he emphasized, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so if there's a number one, there has to be what? A number two. And I think number two is the family. Number one, seek ye first God and his kingdom, meaning salvation, living for God, all the things that we know. And the second thing important to God is the family that he created. So I'm going to talk about God and family. Family comes before anything else of your personal desires. Everybody said amen. Amen. Everything in your life is not as in your job, your house, all of those enter into the family. But the most important thing, if you have a family, is your God and your family. God first, not your boat. But your family. Don't get married if you don't want the responsibility. Paul even talked about that. There's responsibility. So if you're not married, it's not a shame. It's fine. But with marriage comes responsibility. It changes your whole thinking, your whole life. Amen? Now, no one taught me how to be married. And so I didn't know how to be married. I said I do, and I was married. But I was still the same guy. I do didn't make me feel different. I do didn't make me look different. Now later it changed it. but it didn't do it at the original. And so I realized that here I am in a position of learning, you know, on the job training. And I made so many bad mistakes and became so bad. And I'm not trying to tell you all my story, because you all have a story too, you know. And so Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs, and that was not spare rib, that was prime rib. And he took one of the ribs. It gets worse, brother. He took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Woman. No, anyway, woman. Because she was taken from the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Notice he never asked the woman to leave her mother and father. Then the man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be what? Say it. One flesh. And so God's most important thing that he made after all of creation was the family. That's the most important thing. He wasn't interested in anything else. He made everything for the family. Made the garden for the family. Made the sun for the garden. Everything that he created in his plan was for the family. And so that's why I said the most important thing after God is the family. That's the most important thing he had in mind, was creating a family. So the plan becomes a detailed proposal for doing or achieving something. And so Bible is God's plan for our lives. And so we go to Genesis to find out that God created everything, and then he made the family. And so we often talk about Adam and Eve, but we don't understand also that they didn't know what to do. They just come alive in a garden. And we want to put a bad thing on Eve and a bad thing on Adam because they failed God and went out of the garden. But they had instruction. So they did the wrong thing. Hello? They were not knowledgeable. They didn't understand. They didn't have a purpose. They were just there, man and woman. But then God said, this is what you can and this is what you can't do. Hello, church. You know, there's some definites in God's plan. The apostolic church is a definite church. The apostolic church preaches definite doctrines. The apostolic church believes in definite ways to live for God. And so Adam and Eve was giving definite instructions. You can have everything, but... And that's the problem that happened. You can never separate God and the family. It was his plan and purpose from the beginning for the earth to have families. This is why it's right for a man and woman to marry and have children, because God wanted families. And I know this is relatively simple, but this is what I felt to teach, because we need to understand that the world doesn't teach this anymore. I eat out a lot. I eat out a lot of restaurants. I've given more cards out than I can remember. But most of the waitresses that I deal with are shacked up with kids telling me, I'm living with this man and now we just got engaged. And so I asked my wife, does engagement mean marriage now? Does it take a ring to complete what they are doing? They're living in sin. What they're doing is against God's plan, against God's purpose. And so this world has gone so crazy that there is no actually definition of marriage anymore. And I'm going to say this because we're pressured to be tolerant. But I can't be tolerant with sin. I can be tolerant with sinners. But I can't be tolerant with when it goes against the Word of God. What God said is right and what He teaches is right. And that's how it is. And I'm not ugly at all. I pastored in San Francisco. Hello. And I got along with everyone and everyone liked me. But I'm not talking about friendship or being nice. I hope I'm nice to everyone and you know that I try to be that. But when it comes to God's plan, there is no choices. And so it's to be married. Relationships bodily don't start until you're married. Is that all right? Is that old fashioned? Well, you know, it's old-fashioned to a lot of religions today. Not far from this building, they're trying to decide who can be a priest and who can't be a priest, and dividing a huge denomination. Just last week, we had another, the biggest denomination of Protestants in the United States, dividing over issues of who can be a preacher and who can't be a preacher. I'm telling you, we used to sing an old song, "The Word of God is Right, Hallelujah to the Lamb." I said, the Word of God is right. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And I'm sorry what you believe. Well, I don't think. It doesn't matter how you think or what you think. There's only one God. There's only one plan of salvation. There's only one way to go to heaven. There's only one way to be married. There's only one way. So you don't have choices. I'm sorry. Unless they're choices for God. And so there was the tree of life, of course, and then there was the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. And so God made man and woman. That's interesting. Man and woman. And they are called husband and wife. And then you have children, and they are called mother and father. It's interesting, we have a lot of definitions of who is the Father today. And so God said, there's going to be a man, there's going to be a woman, there's going to be a father, there's going to be a mother. And so we have the family. And so the tree of knowledge was good and evil, and every day that Adam and Eve lived, left the tree alone, they worshiped. You heard me say that. Obedience is the highest form of worship in its very simple definition. It just means to bow down to the will of God. When you obey, you bow down to the will of God. It's not just praising, it's worship. And so they were to worship God. Unto the woman I said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, Genesis 3:16, and thy conception and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy... Come on. Now, if this was a home run in a ballpark, I'd have got a lot better response. And I'm not picking on you, but I'm trying to say to the wife, your desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall, no one's going to say this one. Wait till you get a wife, you'll understand this. All right, let's move on. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The NIV, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, so there's a husband and wife. Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, freely eat. Don't worry about me. I'm 81 years old and my teeth get tangled and... Brother Howard's let me up here by the grace of God. He said, every once in a while I'm going to let you do something, and then we'll try to fix it up. So what I'm talking about, the husband was in authority. So the devil did not go to the husband or to Adam to tempt him. He went to Eve, breaking down the structure of the family. So what I'm trying to talk about is the devil wants to break down the home. He's against the family. He's against husband and wife. He's against father and mother. Hello? Gender is a different thing. There's no men's department, no women's department. I can go on and on and on. The devil is trying to destroy the world. How is he doing it? He's doing it through the family. If he can destroy the family, he can destroy anything. And so he tries to destroy God's plan, his family, and he does. And so the devil messed up the original plan. But it's us to follow the original plan. The devil messed up the original plan. It's up to us to follow the original plan. Okay, so there's a time in life for God. Here we go. Number one, you can serve God and still have time for your family. Number two, you can have time for your family and still serve God. Number three, you can't have time for other things. Brother Howard taught a few weeks ago in 1 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Life. And godliness, seek ye first. God doesn't ask for all your time. He doesn't ask for all your money. Number one, he asked for you to be first. Number two, he wants you to be involved with your family. You still have to work. You still have to mow your lawn. Still have to wash your car. Still have to wash your clothes. Still have to mow the lawn, on and on and on. And so God understands that. Amen. But first is God and second is the family. So Brother Howard talked about balance. I'm teaching on fathers must be aware that it's their responsibility to serve God and also to be a father that God wants them to be. I'm not there yet. But you better not spend more time on your hobbies than your family. So God wants first place, seek him first. And then all these things will be added unto you. What you wear, what you eat. So dividing your time between God and family. I surely understand there's more things to do in life. Understand that. So you can be a godly father and a natural father. To the wise man, Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose. A father does have time for God. Hello. And a father does have time for his family. All right. Don't become a selfish father. Everything is about you and the things you want to do. This is my time off to enjoy my life. I call that a selfish father. His first interest is selfish. It's all about him. Number two, be careful about doing the things of God and forgetting your family. Now, we just had 3 days of children's revival. And one of the things I liked, if you noticed and you were there, was it included families together singing and families together doing things. Dads, you need to make this a fun place. You need to make this a place they want to come to. You need to be an example to them that we're going to church. Let's sing a song on the way. Let's have a Bible quiz on the way. We're going to hear good preaching. We're going to hear the choir. Let's enjoy it. Hello? The first thing a Pentecostal child hears. How many know what the word is? Hurry! Hurry! You'll be late. So you need to understand that you're the head of the home. You're the head of the family. God put you there. That's his plan. That's the most interesting thing he's interested in, except you loving him. And so you need to understand that church is not a duty. It's not just something I have to do. Oh, well, you're teaching the Lighthouse Church. It's not something you just have to do. You know what I teach when I say? If the shoe fits, buy the pair. Just get it. And so, number one, always include your family in connection with the things of the church. A born-again believer cannot connect their family with the church if you're not connected to the church. We used to sing a song, "Don't send your kids to Sunday school. Get out of bed and what? Bring them." And I'm not there yet, but I'm just going to do it right here. When I pastored, we had to deal with our children getting sick. But there was times that I helped in churches. I wasn't the pastor. And when my children got sick, we all didn't stay home. If I was teaching in the Sunday school, then my wife stayed home with the child. I brought the other one. Then that night she came with the children, and I stayed home with them. But it wasn't an excuse to just get out of church. Prayer meeting is an important time to train your children how you pray and when to pray and what you're praying for. It's not just a day. I got a cold. I got a sore throat. I'm tired. Hello, dads. I'm talking to you today. You need to realize that this is important what we're doing. We're not just coming together to be here. Brother Howard taught it last night. Train up your children. It's not just telling them, it's doing it. It's example. It's showing them. I'm doing it. If you never praise the Lord, they'll never praise the Lord. If you never lift your hand, they'll never lift their hand. If you never go to the altar, they'll never go to the altar. No, I should have preached on joy. Dads, don't always be doing things with your church buddies. Oh, that's good. I got more response at a funeral than this. Several years ago, I don't know if Pastor will remember, I don't think Brother Waldrop was here then, but I taught a lesson on home missions. Remember when I taught the lesson on home missions, Pastor? And at the end of it, I said, do you have, he don't remember what I said yesterday. Do you, forgive me. Anyway, he said, we had questions and answers, and somebody raised a question, should we have church in our home? And I explained why not and all. And then we closed with prayer. And as I walking, a young minister came to me and said, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. He said, what would you do different? And I said, I wish you would have asked that. I really do. Do you know why? I'd be a better dad, and I'd be a better husband. Brother Chad Short, sitting right there, can tell you, how many times have I said, take time, what? For your family. And that's one of the busiest men in the church. I'm telling you. I tell young ministers, don't forget your family. How many know they grew up fast? How many know they're gone before you know it? You don't get a second chance. Some people wonder, why my kids don't want to come to church? Hello? And I said, I'd be a better dad. Because it was church, church, church. It was either a Bible study on one night and a prayer meeting on one night or a Bible church night or trying to get kids to come to Sunday school on Saturday, and we went on vacations and we did things and all. I wasn't that bad, but I look back and I remember one time we were at General Conference and I came home and the window in my office was broken. And someone said, your boy said, you better fix that window because that's my daddy's life. And I didn't get the message then that to him, my whole life was in that little room with books, a desk. I was raised in L.A. I didn't know what a pig looked like if I didn't go to the fair. I don't know what guns were. I hate guns. I don't know what fishing was. Didn't know what anything was. My dad did nothing. My dad never told me he loved me. I had no instruction. I didn't know what to do. We were so busy, and I thank God for my children, but we were so busy. It was church and church and church and church and church. And I'm not preaching against it. I'm trying to tell there's a balance. When it's church time, be in church. But you can include your kids with church. You can have both. But if it becomes, where's daddy tonight? Where's daddy going tonight? Brother Waldrop, I heard one kid say, where do we go tonight? They made peanut brittle every night. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, this church did. And they said, the kids said, who takes care of us tonight? I said, how sad. There's nobody here that believes in church more than me. There's nobody here that believes in helping start churches and get churches going and motivate people and get them praying, get them saved and keep people in church. But there's a part that I'm saying today, you can have God and family both. But don't sacrifice your family. Till when they grow up, they hate the church. So, I'd been a better father. I'd been a better mother. Because I need to be them. Now, I did take my family places, okay, but my main attention was building a church. I can tell you stories about building a church. We had so many cockroaches in our apartment building our second home mission church that I included my family. So when we came home, we come up the door, And I'd go, shh. And I'd say, be quiet. And I'd open the, it's a true story. I opened the door slowly and I flip on the lights and I'd say, run, you little boogers. Number two, fathers, listen to your children. You may learn a lot of how to be a dad. That's interesting. Children do have an opinion. You don't have to change your opinion, their opinion, but you can listen to their opinion. I teach, when I taught family, I said this, listen to your kids. My wife had teenagers come to her that couldn't listen to their parents because their parents never listened. And they wanted to talk to her about something. If you talk to your children and let them talk when they get to teenagers and they have some problems, they won't go to the neighborhood or some other kid or somebody else. They know I can talk to mom, I can talk to dad, and they won't yell and they won't scream and they won't holler. They'll listen to me. If you scream and shout and holler, they learn to scream and shout and holler. They repeat you. They're training them. And so they're so good to be able to sit down and talk to them. Let them express their opinion. Well, I don't like this. Well, you know, lots of things in life you don't like. I don't know why God made peas. If I'd been God, I wouldn't have made peas. I asked my mom one time, did we ever have peas? She said, all the time. I said, no wonder I don't like peas. I like fries and hamburgers and malts. Number three, most of the young preachers have heard me say it. I just said, take time of your family. One day a week, or at least one night a week, every father ought to spend time with their children. Brother Howard, we got a family night, right, put together. So one night, we're singing songs, we're eating things, making things. Hello. Doing Bible games. I love it. I love it. Can I say something? You plan things. You need to plan your family in your schedule, fathers. Somewhere, that's our night. Now, sometimes I have to say, I can't make it. If you promise them you're going to take them to the zoo and someone is sick that day and you have to go somewhere or someone you have to do something, don't forget to take them to the zoo because pretty soon they don't believe what you say. Let your children know that this is their time. This is special time. I was at Chick-fil-A one time and one of the dads here took his daughter out. And I never forgot that. Just him and her. You know, it wouldn't be bad, Dad, take your daughter out one time, then take your son by themselves, or how many children you have. Matt's going to be gone pretty soon every day. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They need a personal touch, not just that's dad. One man said, the greatest gift you can give your children is yourself. Can I say it? You can take him on a trip, take him out hunting, or take him out to a camping, and around a fire, you can tell a story, and they'll remember that better than a Disneyland trip. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They won't remember the roller coaster and the wheeler and all the other stuff they may have, but they remember the time that we sat there and Dad told that story, and we had such a good time. I used to take my grandchildren, Jeremy and Shanae, and then my son's boy, Ryan, with us for a week. And because of divorce, he lived with someone else. And the man was rich. And he took him to Alaska, took him to Hawaii, took him to Montana. He hunted everywhere. But they came to where I was starting a church in South Dakota. And we just went up and saw my favorite rock group, Mount Rushmore. Don't laugh, they're stoned. And you know what he said one time? He told his dad, the best time I ever had is when we went with Grandpa and Grandma Bagland to South Dakota. Saw this, saw that. Alaska, Montana, Hawaii. What was it? Because we personally had fun. We personally laughed. We personally... Sinead's gone? I'll tell on her. Took her to the fair. You have to know Sinead. We stopped at every stand. I want a hot dog. Now I want a Coke. Now I want a candy apple. I'm serious. We just went from one to another. Don't you want to see a cow? No, I want a candy apple. Jeremy, is that true? That's true. Right. But those kids remember. Hello? We're making memories, not just for family, but for God. Just, when was it? Just a couple weeks ago? What did the pastor, fifth Sunday, preach on? Unity?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Don't we need that in the family?
Yes, that's right.
If we have unity in the family, don't you think that would strengthen the unity in the church?
That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If we can't get along with each other, how are we going to get along with those in the church? All right, number four, don't become money hungry. I need to work more to provide for my children a new swing set, a new clothes, new toys, new places to go. You'll end up with a bunch of stuff and your kids won't even know you. Hello. We got this so backward. We work hard when we got children to buy things and get things. And the children are all gone, and none of it, you're living in a five-bedroom house and just you and your wife. But look what I got. But what did you lose? You made it. But did you make it? 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Father, thank you for working and hard to support your family, but they really would rather have you playing with them than have something to play with. Is that okay? They would rather you be playing with them than have something to play with. I bought them this, I bought them that, but did you interact with them? There's a difference between support and just things. It's sad to get old and look at all the stuff you have accumulated in your life and your children hardly know you. Money will not buy you out of your obligation as being a father. Money will never take the place of time. Number five, to all fathers, make church, again, a fun thing to go to. I mentioned that. We get to go to church. Sing on the way. Play games. Talk to them. Now, I'm serious. Hurry and get ready. Hurry and get ready. We're going to be late for church. You know, we don't. I was in a camp several years ago, and the Brown family was sitting there with all their kids all in a line. And I said, would you go teach some of these other families how to do that? And someone told me the other day, said, I sit by him now. It's not the same. But, you know, you can be strict and kind. My dad never hit me, but boy, his threats were worse. I'm going to knock your head, and it's going to roll down the street. Go bump, 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 bump. I'm telling you the truth. Then he'd say, I'm gonna hit you in the next week. That's a long ways to go. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you the truth. That's how I was raised. My wife came from a family. They say, how are you? I'm hard of hearing all the time. Hello, would you say, honey? But they, and so we got married. We took them down to my house. And pretty soon she's in the bedroom crying. I said, what's wrong? She said, you guys are arguing. I said, arguing? We're having fun. I said, the loudest one won in my family. That's why I'm loud. My brother's loud. Did you know what I said? No, what did you say? Hey, what did you say now? What? That's bad. There was nothing like that. Of course, we never knew nothing. Number 6, be the spiritual leader in your home. So many fathers allow or make their wives do most of the correcting and leadership in the family. Hello? I stand guilty on that one. You take care of it. I've got to, I got a Sunday sermon. I got a Sunday school lesson. You know, if you've never pastored, I don't want to discourage you, but I had a family in my church that came one time, and I was working on a job, trying to start a new first church I started. I'm trying to start a church, working a job, and at 2 or 3 in the morning, I get a call, and they say, would you come pray for my husband? He's sick. So I get dressed, get in the car, drive over there, and I walk in, and he's playing the guitar drunk. And so I tried to talk to him, been a good pastor, prayed for him, said, I went home, tried to get sleep, go to work. The next night I get a call, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And the phone number was the same woman. She said, would you come pray for my husband? He's drunk. He's sick. And I heard him pluck, pluck. I said, you know what? I'm sick too. I'm sick of the whole thing. And I hung up. Well, they didn't come back. aren't you glad I'm not your pastor? Okay. Well, you're just trying to do it. Brother Howard can tell you. Brother Waldrop, it's a pressure job, isn't it? You're dealing with your family and 100 other families. Sickness and financial problems and marriage problems. And I love to counsel people. And so they're going to get married and they say, do you love him? Yes. Do you love her? Yes. And then 6 months later, I don't love him. What happened? To fall in love means you fail. Fell off a skateboard. I fell on the stairs. You know what the Bible said? Do you know there's no place in the Bible that tells you to be in love to be married? Do you know that? You know what the Bible teaches? You learn love. I didn't love God, but he first loved me, won my love, and now I love him. I didn't go around passing out tracts before I was saved. And so, if you're in a marriage today and there's some problems, why don't you learn to love again? Honey, I love you, and because this is our anniversary, I want to take you to a nice restaurant. We're going to John 3:16. And on a lucky day, you get a free coat. So fathers, you're great teachers. What you say, you need to kiss your wife every once in a while, hug her, so your kids see that you love your wife. You need to hug your children. Brother Howard, I hate the life we live now, because when I brought kids to school, to Sunday school, they needed a hug. Those little kids never got a hug, and they can't do that anymore. But nobody loved them. I went to one house. He said, you don't want my kids. Don't want them. Nobody wants them. And I thought, there's something about a real hug. Not a just, I had to do it hug. But I hug you because I love you, honey. You're the best daughter, and you're the best. Isn't it funny? We always talk about when they do something bad. Can't you brag on when they do something good? I really appreciate what you did there. Helped your mom. Thank you. Hello, Dad. Pay attention. Pay attention to your school. Pay attention to the students. Pay attention to your kids, because they are going to repeat what you are and what you do and what you say and how you do it. And so be careful before you raise your voice. Be careful before you yell or scream. Be careful before you get mad. It's good for you guys going to get married. Somebody would have you, I guess. But all right, I'm almost done. The youngest child is the easiest to train. Brother Howard saw it last night. You train a child to love you, a stranger can't get him. I saw Brother Howard with one of his grandchildren on the other night at the revival, and just sat there so calm and loved him so much. That doesn't have, it just, why doesn't my kids love you? Because you never paid attention to them. Because you were like somebody else in their life. True story. A boy comes home and said, your dad died, and he got to crying. True story, to my knowledge. And later he found out he thought it was the dog, and he stopped crying. His love for the dog was greater than his love for his dad. Mr. Brown said this, live so that when your children think of fairness, caring, and integrity, they think of you. When they think of fairness, caring, integrity, they think of you. Live so that when your children think of that, that's who they think. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Father is one of the greatest teaching examples to the children. All right. Everything you do and say is an example to your children. I was building on a church, and I had a new convert, 16-year-old boy, Gene, that we just baptized, and he was in the back of the church, and I was hammering. And I was hammering, and I'm not good at nothing like that at all. And so if it wasn't for anointing, I'd be broke. And so I took a hammer, and I hit my thumb, and I said, oh, hallelujah. If I didn't hit my thumb the second time, believe me. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And Gene said, Pastor, that's so great. I said, what, Gene? He said, when you said that, you said, hallelujah. I said, can I be honest with you? I wouldn't have said nothing, but if you weren't here, that hammer would be across that parking lot right now. So you can control yourself. You know, you just let loose. No. Deuteronomy, I love. Hear, old Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. But later says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I tell new parents, when you have a baby, when you get up in the morning, just whisper in their ear, honey, there's one God. And when you put them to sleep that night, say, honey, there's one God. Yes, sir. Amen. That's right. Put it in them. Put it in them. Amen. Amen. In love. I love you, and God loves you. Again, Brother Howard's sermon on unity. Work with your wife and children to have unity in the home. Many men are afraid to lose some part of their authority. Real authority understands when things are not really important to compromise. Learn to really understand what the need is. Number two, learn to listen to others to hear their point of view. Your wife does have a point of view. I got married. My mother did everything for me, really. And so my wife said one time, why don't you pick up your clothes? I said, my mother picked up my clothes. So my wife and her wonderful wife said, I am not your mother. So I started picking up my clothes. I didn't say, I'm the man of the house, and if I want to throw my shirt there, I'm going to throw my shirt there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She was smarter than me, and I had to admit it. I don't even drive anymore. I just hold on to the steering wheel. The cop stopped that guy and said, sir, said, you know your wife fell out of the car 3 blocks ago? He said, thank God. I thought I was losing my hearing. And so, you know, the trouble with my teaching, they only remember the jokes. Number one, learn to really understand what the need is. Number two, learn to listen to others. Number three, someone in your family may be smarter than you. Hello, Dad. Someone in your family may be smarter on some subjects. And so, many religious fathers don't really understand that statement. They feel that being the authority means boss. It really means to be in control of everyone, doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. I'm in control, and we're all going to do the right thing for the right reason at the right time. And we have a problem, we're going to talk about it. Communication is really a big subject. You know, we don't communicate. No, listen to me. Somebody's talking to you, and you want them to shut up so you can tell them what you want to say. So all you're waiting for them to do is, you're not hearing, you're just waiting for them to shut up. Now, can I tell you what I think? Well, you're not learning anything. I meet with some of the old guys, pretty old too, on Friday in McDonald's, and I give them Bible studies, and we talk about God. And so Norman, that's a Baptist, been here twice for our revival, sits here, and Tommy that got baptized sits there, and another guy sits here, and we're all talking. And I said, you know, Norman's the smartest one here. I said, why? I said, he never said anything. So he knows what we know, and he knows what he knows, so he's twice as smart as us. You know, sometimes it's good to be quiet. Didn't the Bible say what? Study. My goodness, there's a word. To be quiet. All right. Remember that it's important for you to what you say and how you say it to your spouse in front of your children. One preacher said, my dad and mom was a preacher. If they ever want to discuss something, they sent us to bed. Don't ever discuss the church, but don't discuss bad things in front of your children. They don't need to know any of the bad things in your life or bad things that are happening. They don't need to know you lost a job. Hello. They want security. That's all they want, security. I know I got a bed and I got a feed. I'm going to get fed. So they want security. So don't discuss bad things. So it's important how you speak to your children. Number eight, and this is Latin, no one more. Don't forget the house of God in your leading as a father. Don't become overbalanced on taking the family out of church on Sunday. The three-day weekend becomes such a temptation today. I was raised in one church, it was my pastor. You had to ask permission to go, and it was a small church, and so if someone else got to go, you didn't go. You know what? We didn't go. Now, that would make some mad. But what's a pastor if he's not having authority? And everybody can't be gone, and there's no church. Everybody's on a holiday for the Memorial Day, and there's nobody here to sing, nobody here to play the piano, nobody here to do, hello. Don't make a vacation an eight-day separate vacation on eight separate days. You know, I was raised funny. Maybe we're just different. But I was raised, you don't need a boat because you'll probably be gone on Sunday, so you don't need a boat. That's how I was raised. And I'm not taking all the fun out of your life, and I'm not preaching. You can't. I just said it's a balance. You can have a boat, have 10 boats if you want. Hello? Somebody told me Jeremy was getting a boat. You getting a boat? They said you were getting a little dinghy. Don't miss Midwood prayer meeting, please. Make that's on your calendar for your family. I'm telling you, kids are smart. If they learn that you're holding out because of some unreasonable thing, they learn that. They're sharp as that. Don't think they're just not watching and listening. My mom and dad really don't care about prayer. Now, we have a good count. It's a good church. I'm glad I'm here. 12 years and he hasn't made me go somewhere else yet. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm working on it now? Right. Okay. Brother Walter, would you close this meeting for All right. Remember, families play that old game. Follow the leader. Who's the leader? Number 9, never, never show favoritism to any of your children. Genesis 25, 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Don't have favoritism. Children are smart. Middle children have a hard time because one's the oldest and one's the baby. And sometimes they feel like, you know, that's why what I'm saying, I hope you got this. I know I'm funny and whatever, but I'm trying to get this to you. Take each one, love each one separate and love each one together and love them together. Make them all feel apart. I'm so proud of Chad. When he had a boy, he's still playing with his girls and loving the girls. Thank you, sir. Are you listening? Don't overemphasize someone smarter than the other. Everybody's smart in their own way. Don't just always brag on one child. Brag on everybody's child. That's the greatest D you ever got. So, wait, she's explaining it to pastor women. How many got something out of this today? How many are going to try to think better? This is important. Your family is the most important thing you got. It's the most important thing God has. These families in this church are important to God, everyone. I hate to see anybody leave the church. I hate to see anyone backslide. So together we need to help to influence the families of this church and each other. Let's raise our hands and thank God for his goodness. We thank you, God.